And the first lesson for today, the fourth Sunday of the Easter season, is from the Acts of the Apostles. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of high priestly family. And when they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation to no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the psalm today is Psalm 23. Why don't we read this together? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures, and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul, and guides me along the right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
And the second reading is from the first letter of John. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And this is now the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Earlier in the week, Scott sent out a little email that said, who wants to preach on something? Who wants to talk about sheep? Well, I responded, of course. He says, I'm a local expert on sheep. Then he sent back an email and said, there'll be sheep at the 8 o'clock and wolves at the other two services.
That's right.
Many years ago, 1963 to be exact, I started seminary. And during the course of that time, one of the Old Testament professors said, you know, as people call to ministry, you have to realize, and sometimes you're the shepherd, and sometimes you're the sheep. Now think about that for a moment. Sometimes we're called to be shepherds, sometimes we're called to be sheep. He suggested that when you get up in the morning and look in the mirror, say, sometimes I'm a shepherd. Sometimes I'm a sheep. If you look back on this shepherd-sheep situation, you know, it begins back in the first chapters of Genesis. When God takes this creature we call Adam, he takes him out and he shows him the animals, and one story says that he tells Adam, name them. Describe them. Describe their characteristics. Give them a name so you can understand what they are. And so this shepherding relationship begins even in that early part of Genesis. God says, I'm going to give you dominion over the animals and the birds and the fish. You're their shepherd. You look at the Old Testament, it's full of shepherding stories. In that early part of Genesis, we have the stories of shepherds, farmers, and city dwellers. All three are mixed in. But you know, there's a bias. Whoever wrote Genesis, the J writer, we might call him, after Yahweh, had a bias. He liked shepherding better than he did city dwelling. After all, Abraham leaves the city and becomes a shepherd. Abraham's children become shepherds. Isaac, Jacob. Moses goes out, fearful for his life, finds a family in Kenith, a man named Jethro. Marries some of Jethro's daughters, and Jethro puts him to work doing what? Shepherding. Taking care of the sheep. What is this relationship between caring for sheep? David, a young shepherd boy, is lifted up to become king. Again, this relationship between shepherding and taking care of people. Jesus is called a sheep at times. Today in the service, we'll probably say at least three times, Lamb of God. He's the sheep. He's also the shepherd. If you look back into the history of livestock, you run into a word called domestication. You know, what animals are domesticated? I did a little research this past week, and I started reading Jared Diamond. Have any of you read Jared Diamond's material? Guns, Germs, Steel, all of that sort of thing? All right. Diamond gives you some concepts on domestication. Why do some animals why can they become domesticated and others can't? He says, you know, there are 72 large animals in Europe and Asia, and of that 72, only 13 have been domesticated. Then I got onto a blog, and they're talking about Diamond's thesis, about why some animals can be domesticated and others can't. And someone wrote in and said, sure, if you're right, there's a vicuna animal down in South America, can't be domesticated. It won't breed in captivity. No one's ever been able to domesticate the zebra of Africa. There's wild elephants, can't be domesticated. Now, you can tame some of these animals, but the difference between tamed animal and domesticated animal is very clear. You can tame a tiger, but you don't leave them alone in the backyard. You know. Anyway, this guy's talking about all these. He said he lists these animals that can't be domesticated. And then he ends the listing by saying, there's another animal that can't be domesticated. They're called husbands. Maybe what God has been trying to do ever since creation is domesticate human beings. You know? Sometimes we're shepherds. Sometimes we're sheep. Sometimes we're sheep. Sometimes we're wolves. In the gospel today, Jesus said, I am a good shepherd. I'm not a hireling. When you start looking up the good shepherd, where is the standard set for the good shepherd? There's an obscure bit of wisdom in the Jewish writings called the Mishnah that talks about the shepherd's creed. And the shepherd's creed, we're told, has its origins again in Genesis with the story of Jacob. He runs away from his brother. He's fearful that because he's tricked his brother's going to take revenge, and he goes away and he lives with his uncle Laban. And there he meets Rachel and he meets Leah, you know, the whole story. And he has to go to work for Uncle Laban as a shepherd. He works 7 years to get a first wife. He thinks it's going to be Rachel, and of course it isn't, it's Leah. He works another 7 years to get Rachel. He's got two wives, but he doesn't have any property. So he makes a deal with Uncle Laban, and he works another 6 years so he can have a little flock of his own. But soon the little flock is greater than Uncle Laban's. And there's a great deal of jealousy going on here. Laban is not happy, and Laban's sons are not happy because Jacob has more than the others. Well, there comes a time when Jacob decides he's got to leave. So he tells his wives and the people he now has working for him to gather together what they have, and they're going to go back. They're going to face Esau. But they're cut off as they go back. Laban treats him pretty badly. And in Genesis, we read about their final confrontation. Jacob has become angry. You know, after all 20 years of your life working and being maltreated. And then chapter 31, verse 36 begins, Jacob became angry. And he began to argue with Laban. And Jacob said to Laban, what is my offense? What is my sin that you so hotly pursue me? Although you have felt about these things, because all of the goods that I've accomplished, what have you found of your own things among my goods? Not a thing. These 20 years I have been with your ewes and your female goats, have never miscarried, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn apart by wild beasts, I did not bring to you. I bore their loss myself. Of my own hand, you required it, whether it was stolen by day or stolen by night. It was like this with me. By day the heat consumed me, and the cold by night. And sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house, I have served you faithfully. First for your daughters, and now 6 years for the flock. And you have changed my wages 10 times. He's a little upset. Laban and Jacob come to an agreement, and they agree to part company. Perhaps there's some hard feelings there. They make a stone to mark the place where they make their final agreement. And part of this cairn is in a pillar, and they call the pillar Mizpah. Now, in the King James Version of the Bible, and this is the one we often hear and sometimes even use as a benediction, the King James writer says, Mizpah means, the Lord watch over you while we're absent one from another. That sounds beautiful. When I was taking Hebrew, our Hebrew instructor said, actually it means more like, okay, just remember God's watching you when my back is turned. That's more like the way people talk. And that sums up the relationship between Laban and Jacob. Sometimes it sums up the relationship we have with people that we deal with. Can we trust them when our back is turned? This whole thing of shepherd and sheep. Now along comes Jesus. And we say the great shepherd of the sheep. And he was the great shepherd. But also he's the great sheep. He's the Lamb of God that sacrificed for the sins of the whole world. And in the Kyrie, which we'll probably use today, we always do, don't we, Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Here on prayer. The gospel lesson that you heard from John, Jesus says, I am the great shepherd. But he also is laying down some concepts. This is the way shepherds should act. He thinks back, I believe, to Jacob, to Moses, those people who were faithful shepherds, who in spite of being maltreated, continued to be good shepherds. He lays down this by his witness, by his life, for those people we call disciples. The end of the Gospel of John, we read that Jesus turns and he looks at Peter. They finished breakfast. This is a resurrection experience. Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. The second time Jesus said to him, Simon, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, Peter, do you love me? Now Peter felt hurt because he'd said to him the third time, Do you love him? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you that when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten the belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. Sometimes we're the shepherd, sometimes we're the sheep. But Jesus says to us today, do you love me? And if we say yes, then he says, be shepherds, feed my sheep. Every day, do you love me? If so, feed my lambs. Do you love me? And take care of the flock. Sometimes we're the sheep. Sometimes we're the shepherds. Our great difficulty is in that decision that comes every time we face a new situation. Am I a sheep? Or have I been called to be a shepherd? That's the question to think about this week. Amen.
Amen.